And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, here in Galatians 2:11. Oh boy. Come to a very special part of the Scriptures. Specifically, this is where Paul confronts Peter for his hypocrisy. Let me just say, this does not give us license to rebuke people that we don't like because we don't think they're doing the right thing. Paul was operating in the authority of the Holy Spirit to confront an equal in the realm of ministry, and he specifically told him it was very wrong. But even when you read what Paul said, Paul's not being mean about it. He's just stating what the transgression is. That's a lot different than name-calling alongside of that. Next, to sum up the situation, Peter had no problem hanging out with the Gentiles. In fact, Peter loved the Gentiles. He's the one that brought the gospel to the Gentiles. But James and some of James's friends came to town, and Peter all of a sudden became a Gentile phobe. He was almost so he's afraid of. He wouldn't hang out with the Gentiles, and he wouldn't engage with the Gentiles. So finally, Paul's confrontation under the guidance of the Holy Spirit is one of logic and practicality. He says to Peter, "You, who are Jewish, are living like a Gentile. But you are trying to get the Gentiles to live the way that the Jews do. That doesn't wash." Then Paul restates how we're supposed to walk as brothers and sisters in Christ. It is the manner that we have been accepted by God through Jesus Christ, through the vehicle of faith given by grace. Because the law and our obedience to the law could never save anyone. It has always been salvation by grace.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Yeah, that's a good one. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanity is an oy vey. You can take that right out of a Mel Brooks movie if you want to. You can just write out.
Now, like, that was a little bit different. I had to look up on that one.
So that, you know, when you're hurting and you have a stomach ache and you're trying to, even when you're faking it, you're home, you can do that. My stomach hurts. Okay, anyway, we won't talk about what I did as a kid. That's all bad stuff. Anyhow, here's a couple things to remember, okay? First of all, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. If you've got a can, we've got a can. You got some strings, we're doing it. That's how it's working. We're asking you, what do you think, okay? You can email us during the show. It does work. David@hemusincrease.org. Until the power goes out on my Chromebook, it works. David@hemusincrease.org. Not anti-disestablishmentarianism, not supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, just David, okay, @hemusincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483, anytime during the show. Doesn't mean I can always get to it right away, but you can do it, 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. We just had a wonderful new caller. It just happened, right? 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Oh, lucky person, you got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite!
Talking to Dynamite D, that's like talking to a brother who knows that even if things aren't going perfectly, he's there to help pick you up.
Praise God, Dave.
There you go. That's what you want to be able to do. So here's the thing we want to make sure you understand, OK? okay? This is not a kvetch fest. You're like, what's a kvetch fest, okay? So remember, we have new callers, so you got to kind of explain some of these things. And people are like, why do you always give the number? Well, because sometimes we have new callers. That's the whole point. So for those that don't know, I was born and raised Jewish, and I became a Christian. Then I went on and did lots of goofy stuff, educational and ministry-wise, okay? And here we are, okay? They call me Dr. Dave, but not really, because I personally just don't like the title. But, okay, here's how it goes, all right? You might want to share something. I understand there's frustration all over the place. There are shows that are geared to help you with that. We are geared in the middle of the day to say, you know what? Let's get closer to the Lord, because it doesn't matter if you know every nuance to the eschatological end. What matters is that you get closer to Jesus, so that no matter what the end is, you are closing in closer to him all the way through. So that's what we're trying to do, encouraging each other to do that. So we do that in a bunch of different ways. You can call and ask for prayer. We'll take our faith with your faith. We'll lift it up before the Lord and petition. You can call in and share a praise report. It's so cool when people share about what the Lord's doing, because it encourages others. It also reinforces that person's ability to share. Plus, it reminds all of us God is active amongst us. And that is a powerful blessing. You can also answer trivia. And that's always fun. And if you don't get this one, I'm going to cry. What occupation did Joseph have? Joseph, who was Jesus' dad. Earthly father. I don't say stepdad. I say step up dad. Okay. What was his occupation? What did he do? Right? Family business. You're going to go into family business, son. What was it? If you think you know the answer, and you can text in, call in, you can email in, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Yeah, that's not a toughie, right? Not a toughie. All right, go ahead. You get ready to send them in? Send them on through. Send them on through. Let's go. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. How have you been feeling?
Well, I have felt better, but I could feel worse. So.
Well, I like the idea that you've not, this is not the worst you've ever felt, but I also like the idea that we're going to pray for you, if that's okay with you. I don't want to, you know, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable with that, but I like praying for you. So we want to do that. But first, let's answer the question. Classic family business question. What occupation did Joseph, Jesus' step-up dad, what occupation did he have?
He was a carpenter.
That is correct, Amundo! That is exactly it. Family business, pressing on. And I do think it's amazing, because some people, you know, they have different functions in life. And Joseph was, in essence, somebody who fine-tunedly built things or re-coordinated things or whatever. Isn't it true of Jesus? He's built the church. I mean, he's the carpenter. I mean, that is it. My boss is a Jewish carpenter, right? I mean, that is just classic. All right,
I think they had a lot of status there in
Nazareth. You know, you're right, though. Very common laborer, right? Compared to, like, king or something.
just a carpenter's son, you know.
Yep, exactly right. And so now, you know, depending on what it is, now you just, you know, people are like, well, so he was a carpenter. It's like, I know, but he was one of us. And that's what I think people miss a lot. He could have been, I mean, he was nothing unique, according to Isaiah, that would draw us to him, except for who he was. That's good enough for us. All right, let's pray. I want to pray for your health. I want to pray for everybody else's health who's hanging out with us today. So let's do it.
Okay.
Father, we come before you right now to lift up our precious brother, Gary. What a delight. It's always a delight for me to pray for him. It's also a delight to hear from him. And I just ask you just to bless him and fill his heart with peace and with grace. You know, you talk to us about the peace that passes all understanding, and it keeps our hearts and our minds. You teach us that in your word in Philippians. We pray that that's the peace that he would have, that surpasses all understanding and keeps his heart and his mind in you. And we pray that you would physically touch his body by your power. We ask you to touch him. We ask you to revive him. We ask you to heal him. He has good days. He has bad days. He has days. Lord, change the rest of this day and let it be a blessed day, because you are the one who touches him. We pray for your grace in his life and for all the people who are listening, that you would encourage and strengthen them as well and love on them as well, and they would draw close to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and I've been praying for all of you, and I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay, here we go. So we're doing what, Galatians?
Galatians.
Okay, so Galatians. Okay. I know we're doing something.
That's why I'm here, Dave.
It takes me a moment, folks. It takes me a moment. Okay. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. This is where Paul confronts Peter. Now, I do want to point this out. Look, and I want to say this in a right spirit way. I guess that's what I'm looking to do. Let's look at verse 11 first. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly against what he was doing, for it was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians, who don't bother with circumcision. But afterwards, when some Jewish friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what the legalists would say. So let's just stop there, okay? This is going to be Paul, and he's going to confront Peter. This is not me saying to you, you're not allowed to confront people. I don't want you to get that impression, but I do want you to understand that when you are confronting somebody or when you're challenging somebody, it's not to win the argument, right? It's to stand in the truth. It's not for you to be smarter. It's for everybody to be closer. It's, you know what I'm saying? So you don't do it to, I got another notch in my belt and won that argument. That is not the point. The point of this is for everybody to, you know, surrender their hearts to the Lord, move closer to the Lord. So Paul is talking about his confrontation with Peter. And I do think it's important to understand, like, when I saw this on television, I'm just going to point it out. So there was somebody went to John MacArthur's church, and some people love John MacArthur, some people don't. But this person who doesn't go to the church, not a member, stood up in the middle of a sermon and started to try and rebuke John MacArthur as though that was the appropriate place to even try. And not only that, but he wasn't a member of the church. He wasn't even a member of his staff. He wasn't. It's just like, that is not how that goes. The Lord told me to do that. No, he didn't. First of all, that was out of order, and the Lord does things orderly. So that's just not true, okay, in a service. And second of all, I have the right to do whatever I want, even if I come off obnoxious. No, you don't. Nobody gets that right to just be obnoxious.
That sounded like he was used by the enemy to me.
You know, if you think about the disruption, it didn't do anything but probably create division. And that's how you know what is and isn't happening is the fruit of it all. Okay? But, okay, that doesn't mean that God doesn't do that in other situations. I'm just giving you one that I was on television, that I'm giving an example. And the other thing that with that, I just want to say this is, you know, to be persecuted for being a Christian is glory before the eyes of God. To be persecuted for being a Christian because you're being obnoxious is not glory. That's not the same thing. And so he confronts them, and what he does is he's saying it's really wrong. And so he's giving out the kind of like the breakdown. It's like, look, you know, I you know, what he was doing is wrong. He first arrived, he was eating with the Gentiles, and then when the Jewish people came, he was afraid of what the legalists would say. This is the problem. The problem is you don't change your behavior because of what other people might think of you, because you're trying to impress the crowd. In John chapter 12, it talks about the leaders who would not acknowledge Jesus Christ because they feared they'd be thrown out of the synagogue. You don't live for the approval of people. You live for the approval of the Lord. And maybe sometimes you have to stand alone. And maybe sometimes you stand with other people. Other people say, I don't know. But you got to do what's right between you and God no matter what, right? That's the key. And so Peter's actions were because he was concerned about what the influential people would think. This is a sad testimony then. It's 10 times sadder now that people do things because for the purpose of wanting influential people to approve of them. That's just sin. That's just wrong. You don't live for the audience. You live for the author. And everything else finds its way. Okay. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here is a DDD entitled Custom Eyeglasses Used on Others. Custom eyeglasses used on others. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. Stop. There it is. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. How do we see people in our lives? Saul saw David through jealous glasses. He put on these glasses. They weren't the ones from the Lord, right? They were glasses that had much more flesh in them, and then everything was tainted. This is what happens to you and I, and let's just do the honest, you know, those honest moments where we put on our glasses regarding some people, because almost every time we get a communication from them, there's just something coming that's you just know, this is going to be lousy. I haven't even opened it. I'm already dreading it, right? Have you ever gone through that, right? Or every time this person texts me, I'm not smiling after I read it, or something along those lines. And it could be somebody who, you know, has got a spirit of complaining. It could be somebody that's got a spirit of pride. It could be any of those things, right? And you're just like going, oy vey, right? But you're not saying it much, but you know how you're seeing it. And that's custom glasses. You've already put the glasses on. You've already determined how it's going to be. You're already seeing it through that slant. It's not that they've never done anything. It's just that you and I tend to stay in those zones and see people that way. And so no matter what was going to happen with Saul and King Saul and David, David was going to impute evil motives to Saul's actions. I've gone through this with a professor. I'm just confessing. Right? I had a professor before we started the radio show, and my buddy in the process was a pastor, was my like a schoolmate, and he would write me and go, why does she, you know, jump on you like that? I mean, he was asking me, right? And I'm like, every time this statement, I just instead of having any kind of change of heart or mercy, I was mad. But my anger did not work the righteousness of God. And sometimes people do that because of other reasons. It's not because of you. And we need to do a better job of not wearing custom glasses where we see the downside on people. So the question to ask is, what kind of glasses do we use with others? And are those glasses approved prescription glasses from God? If Jesus. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Yay, Texas, yay. That's all I'm going to say. I wish it wasn't as hot, but, you know, I lived in Phoenix for a while. San Diego, weather was nice. City, a little nutty. State, completely nutty. All right, anyway, let's get to our next triv question. Let's see how we do on this one. This should be a rather interesting one. I'm going to give you a little bit of a hint, but not a ton of a hint. Here we go. What was the name of Joseph, the step-up dad? What was the name of his hometown? In other words, what was he known for being from? And the answer is simply connected to why it's Jesus of... You know, what was the geographical answer? Like, it's the same. So I'm trying to help you. So the location for Joseph's hometown and then Jesus's, like, background, right? Right, right. It's Jesus of – and by the way, this was a fantastic series that they did in regards to the life of Christ. I'm just putting that out there. If you think you know the answer, where are my papers? Oh, they're underneath here. That's right, I'm okay. 972-445-0770. That's the number to call. 214-210-8483. That's the number to text. And then David at hemustincrease.org. That would be the email. Okay? Everybody's doing good. Got somebody else on the phone. I still have one, two. I have a very short joke list. It's very short, but that does not mean I'm not doing it. They're very short, not quite as cutty. We do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is Lana.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I love listening to your program. Oh,
I so appreciate that so much. That's so sweet of you. All right, is this the first time you called, or have you called in before?
Yes, this is the first time I called, and I didn't figure I'd get through. I figured everybody in the world would be calling, so I just never called.
Well, you know what? You got right through, and we are blessed to have you on the phone, and we're blessed to have you on the show as well. So excellent job there. That's a great way to step up. Now, you're ready for this one? Because this is a good one. This is a good one. Ready? Ready?
Oh,
yeah, I'm going to give
Okay, well, I thought it was the one about Jesus, where was he from, and where was his...
Yeah, and the answer is what? That he's from... Okay, but where is Joseph's hometown and where Jesus is from? He's from where?
Is Nazareth.
That is correct, Amanda! Yes, that is right. So Joseph's hometown, Luke 2:4, is Nazareth, and so Jesus is known as Jesus of Nazareth because that's where he grew up. And so that's where they make that connection. So it came from where his dad planted, but it also attributed to Jesus and his background. So that's an excellent, excellent job.
Oh, thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for call anytime and anything you got going on. Don't hesitate. We're here the best we can be here Monday through Friday.
Okay, thank you so much. All right. Enjoy your program. You have a great day.
All right, God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay, so that's another new caller. So we had two new callers today, right? You got to be excited about that, right? Okay, there you go. Now, for those that aren't new, there is one thing that we do on the show, and most people don't like it, but it doesn't matter because I have to like it. How selfish is that to say it that way, right? It's not true. Some people like it. Just a couple, though. I got to do my jokes. These are not the best jokes ever. Actually, one of these is pretty funny, okay? But two of these is pretty funny. You ready for this? All right, here we go. All right. This one's not as funny. This is teachers and students. Teachers and students. Everybody got that? Teachers and students. Teacher to the student, where's your homework this morning? The student, you'll never believe this, but on the way to school, I made a paper airplane out of it, and someone hijacked it to Cuba.
Wow! Wow!
All right. These next two are pretty good. So just hang in there. A college boy to his mother. I decided that I want to be a political science major and I want to clean up this mess of a world. That's very nice, purred his mother. Now go upstairs and start with your room. Okay. Yeah. That's cute. I like this one's my. See, being somebody who appreciates the student-y thing, this is my fave. Ready? Student. I don't deserve a zero on this test, teacher. I don't think you deserve a zero either, but that's the lowest mark I can give you. See, didn't deserve a zero. I'll take that sound. Okay. People are like, what does that got to do with anything? Nothing. It's got nothing to do with anything. Zero. There's no... Wait till we do history. That's got nothing to do with anything either. All right, here we go. Back into the text. So let's get into it. We are in the part where Peter is being confronted by Paul. So I want to make sure that we understand this. And this shows you the impact that this kind of thing happens. So we're going to take it right back up to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, and then kind of bring it down, kind of like do a downward flow so you can see this in context. Here's what it says. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him publicly, speaking strongly against what he was doing, for it was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who don't bother with circumcision. But afterwards, when some Jewish friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore because he was afraid of what these legalists would say. Then the other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was influenced to join them in their hypocrisy. Now, let me just say this, and this is superbly important. Barnabas, okay, now he does have the falling out with Paul, though as you look at Scripture and you look at the history, you get to see God was really just splitting them up to go different directions. But in all that Barnabas did, he was the one that brought Paul back. He's the one that brought John Mark back. By the way, when John Mark left, then he came back, and then the Lord had him hook up with Peter, and then he wrote a gospel. Not too shabby for restoration, but that's not the point. The point is, when we get caught up in a hypocrisy, it's easy for others to see it and follow it. That's what you got to be aware of. Because you don't think all the time of all the people that are listening. You don't think all the time of people that are processing. We talked about this on Thursday, how there was Paul and there was Silas, and they're in the prison in Acts 17. They're in the prison. And remember, they're praising God and they're singing hymns and they're praying to God. And the scripture says that the prisoners were listening. There's always somebody listening, and you're always influencing, even if you don't see them or know them right out top. Somebody is being influenced. And so in this case, Peter, who was functioning in hypocrisy, right, influenced leaders, including Barnabas. And so it's like, wow, that's not good. No, that's not good. You influence people. You influence your children, your family, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, friends, whatever, people at church. You influence them. And you want to be sure that the influence you're influencing is for the kingdom of God and for the declaration of Jesus Christ and for the truth, right? You can't live your life afraid of what other people are going to, you know, think of you. You got to live your life before the Lord, and then it's honest. And this is the whole thing about hypocrisy. Ananias and Sapphira were not honest. God took them out. I've actually had this discussion with somebody where it's like, well, that's not the New Testament. It's the church. What do you mean it's not the New Testament? It's Acts chapter 5 after their ascension. What are you talking about? The Holy Spirit only fell in Acts chapter 2:4. What? God doesn't like that. Just be yourself, but be it as unto the Lord. And if you're going to get caught, you're gonna be aware. You influence people. You don't want to be caught up in being – no, you don't want to be caught up in being a hypocrite. That doesn't mean that you can't disagree with somebody. That doesn't mean you can't have a different position. I mean, so it doesn't matter. It's not really in soteriology, but in eschatological things or even in ecclesiology, if you got a difference, okay. That's not the same thing. This is just straight out hypocrisy, right? That's what you got to be careful of, because you don't want to influence others down that road, right? And then Paul says this. He says, when I saw they were not following the truth of the good news, I said to Peter in front of all of them, since you're a Jew by birth and have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like the Gentiles, why are you trying to make the Gentiles obey the Jewish laws you abandoned? That is very much in his face. If you figure that out, that is very much, hey, dude, look, you're Jewish. You quit that to follow Christ. Now you're telling the Gentiles to do what you used to do, and now you don't do. Don't do that. Like, wow. And I don't think we get a lot in here. I can double check on other scholars and what they think, but I don't think there's a lot of response to Peter, because you want to know why? There's not a lot of response. When you do something wrong, you know what you should do? You should go, yep, I shouldn't do that. That's a bad idea. The sooner you eat the humble pie, the sooner you're through with it. Eat the pie and eat it early, so to speak. Then just move on. Otherwise, you can try and defend it, and then you'll really be in trouble. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the true station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad. A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this: millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really, drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope. Federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
I got nothing to say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. Wow. Which of the named brothers of Jesus? Okay, there were four of them. Which of the named brothers of Jesus became an apostle? Oh, Galatians 1:19, if you're feeling brave, which of the named brothers of Jesus became an apostle? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, David@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website as we do at this particular time. I want you to be aware of just a couple of things. There's only like a couple more days on June Buddies because this is, the 27th. So you're listening to the show. You hear somebody either call in, somebody we talk about, something that happens or a fill or something like that. And then you just pray for that person. You're not praying for them for 5 or 6 hours. You're not laying down on the ground and rolling on the carpet. You're just lifting them up before the Lord and ask the Lord to bless and guide and strengthen and draw close to them. We do this thing every couple of months now because Noelle, my wife, who's my best friend and 10 times smarter than I am. But so this is June Buddies. And so we're going to simply ask you to don't forget about June Buddies. Plus, also, please be praying for lost family members because that is exceedingly important to keep on praying. Somebody was talking with me the other day, and we just had a great conversation, a great fellowship. And I told them about a story about somebody that I knew that they prayed for 30-plus years for somebody to be delivered from certain habits and to find the Lord. And after 30 years of prayer, that happened. It's like, wow. Would it have been better for the person not to pray? No. So, yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? So, okay. So do that. And then the last but not least is on the website, it's a place to give, 100% secure, 100% tax deductible. Plus, if you don't want to give through the website, it tells you how to give. And usually at the end of that giving, there's some goofy video or something. Anyway, check it all out, HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
Oh, that is so funny. It's funny. You just have to recognize why it's funny. Okay. Which of the named brothers of Jesus became an apostle? That's the trivia question. If you know, you can give us a call, 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. It is time for history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, today is National Sunglasses Day.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, do you wear sunglasses?
I do, yep.
I wear them, but I noticed that depending on how bright it is, if it's like cloudier and then I wear them versus really, really, really bright, sometimes it gives me a headache. Isn't that weird?
Wow, it is.
That's kind of a weird thing. Today is National Ice Cream Cake Day. Hello!
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
I love ice cream cake. Hello! I think that's wonderful. Watch this for me. I'm a sci-fi fan for those that don't know. 1949, on this day, the first American sci-fi TV show, Captain Video and His Video Rangers, debuted on Dumont, starring Richard Coogan as the captain.
Oh, wow, Dave.
1949. How's that? 1967, the first ever ATM is installed in London, England. And 1985, the famous road, Route 66, is no longer considered an official highway, which is relatively amazing because in 1981, I lived right by it, and I still live by it. Now in fate.
So you live by way in Detroit.
Well, no, this is Route 66. So this is the freeway that goes through the whole. Okay, so it goes through Flagstaff, Arizona, and it actually comes here through Texas. It's like that bottom route.
Whoops. Gotcha.
It's that bottom route. Gotcha. So yes, that's what. But no, in Detroit. See, when I left Detroit, that's when everybody had the bumper sticker: "The last person to leave Detroit, please turn the lights off." Okay. See, anybody from Detroit's going, that's funny. Okay, there you go. All right, trivia questions out there. We got to do our teaching. Let's go back to the teaching. We are in Galatians chapter 2, right there when Paul is going to lay down probably just – Galatians is filled with just brilliant, brilliant theological statements. Keep in mind that as cool as Paul was, none of this happens without the Holy Spirit, you know, working through him. I mean, it's as the people were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So here's what he says, and we'll pick it back up right after he challenges Peter. Keep in mind, some scholars think that the rebuke Paul gave was multiple verses. Other people think it's like one verse. It's like, okay, yeah, you read it, and you're mature enough. You can figure it out. Here's what it says in verse, 14? When I saw they were not following the truth of God, the truth of the good news, I said to Peter in front of them all, since you are a Jew by birth and have discarded the Jewish law and are living like a Gentile, why are you trying to make these Gentiles obey the Jewish laws you abandon? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles, and yet we Jewish Christians know that we became right with God not by doing what the law commands, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, listen. This is one of the purposes of this letter. The reason that Paul wrote this. You know, you when you write somebody, you typically will have a reason, right? There's an underlying reason. Like in the book of Hebrews, the author was writing to encourage Christians under tough situations and persecutions to be able to just endure. In certain letters Paul would write to set the order straight. He wrote had Timothy. He was trying to give him, you know, the tools to kind of coordinate as kind of an overseer in an area, how to approach that. In this letter, this is the whole reason. And Paul spends the next 3 or 4 chapters just hammering this point about the reason that it was written. Look, he's like, said, look, you're Jewish, Peter. I'm Jewish, right? We're not quote-unquote sinners like the Gentiles, okay? That's kind of a way you would say or understand that. And yet we Jewish Christians know that we become right with God not by doing what the law commands, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now just stop. By faith in Jesus Christ. It's not that you don't want to do the right things. You do want to do the right things. And in truth, when you do something wrong, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is evident. And you were like, oh, man, I can't do it. Oh, that was terrible. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. Whatever that case may be, that's our desire, is to do it right. But that is not how you get saved. That's a result of getting saved. You get saved because of Jesus Christ and his redeeming work. You get saved, simply put, and it's just something I'm going to teach for the rest of my life. When mankind sinned, the sentence was death. Jesus came along and never sinned, but he still died. That's an injustice. And that had to be set right. So he said, everybody believes in me gets my right life, my righteous life, because he never supposed to die. I mean, it's very judicial. We've talked about this multiple times. But the access to the grace of God, because it's given by grace, is by faith. Jesus lives in your heart by faith. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up actual residency because your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit ain't coming inside you if you don't acknowledge and accept Jesus Christ by faith first. The Holy Spirit's not going to live in you apart from Jesus. The Holy Spirit testifies to Jesus. That's the ministry the Holy Spirit has been given. So you know how the Father is there and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father and his current ministry is interceding for those who believe in him, like he's ever lives to make intercession for us. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to fill inside of us and testify to Jesus Christ. Okay. And so the idea behind this is it's by grace, granted, given, offered by grace, received by faith. And that is where salvation comes from, not by doing it perfect, because you will never be made perfect by what you do. I love this illustration that this one professor says. It's like your life is like a white sheet, but the minute you sin, you stained it with red. But you can't fellowship with God unless you're all white, the sheet's all white. And you can't fake it or cover it because it still happens. So through Jesus, you know what you get? A new sheet. It's like, okay, that's cool. Cool, so to speak. I'm just giving you a picture illustration. That's all I'm trying to do. We're not getting to the deep theological. What I'm trying to do is give you this understanding. Look, that does not happen because you are brilliant. That happens because you believe something given to you by grace, received by faith because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. I have to say this, okay? It starts with Jesus, it stays in Jesus, and it finishes in Jesus. And when you try and take it somewhere else, you fall from grace. That's what falling from grace is, by the way. You fell off the wagon of what grace was. Whoops. Stay on the wagon, so to speak. We didn't answer the trivia question. I got to answer the trivia question. Sorry. Hey, I'm slow. Leave me alone. Which of the named brothers of Jesus became an apostle? And the answer is James. Remember? James. He's the one who wrote the book of James, and it was in Acts. chapter 15, where he was in charge, or kind of like the one in charge of the church council. And that was after the other James died in Acts chapter 12. So that's how you kind of know what's going on there. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
You don't know what's going to happen in 1 minute, let alone 1 hour from now. And God, who it's impossible for God to lie, has made this commitment, made this offer, made this opportunity to both you and me and all of us around. The simplicity is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of that sin, the wages falling short, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God, demonstrating his love for us, sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is nothing more important than that principle right there. The hope that is offered to believers who acknowledge and surrender to the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what's being offered. That's what gives you encouragement. That's what enables you to go on. You're going to have a lot of sorrow in this life. Job said it best, a man's days are few and full of trouble. But in the next, there is something so wonderful that even in man's mind, we cannot retain it. For eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither can the heart comprehend, can't even receive the great things which God has prepared for them that love him. There's such a great thing that's coming for us, such a great place, such a wondrous place. But you got to acknowledge the invitation. You got to say yes. Because if you don't say yes, you're not going to that wedding. The wedding of the Lamb. Don't be that person. Don't be that person that rejects it. Don't be that person that lives in sorrow, in grief, and in sadness. Don't be that person. Be the one that says yes. So that you can be a part of the great wedding feast, that you can be a part of the great celebration. Oh, life is much more than this 60, 70, 80, 90 years. It's eternity on the line. And if you've already said yes, rest in the comfort. Rest in that place. Rest in that goodness. That all is well. And even on this side, if it's hard, on the other side, it's glorious. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Where did the hour and a half go? It's just kind of fast. All right. Here's our last trivia question. Should not be that difficult. You guys are pretty tight on this. You got a good handle on this. How many named siblings did Jesus have? Okay. How many did he have? How many siblings did he have? How many brothers did he have? There you go. Okay. All right. There you go. How many brothers did Jesus have? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. Your reference point will be Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56. To let everybody know, we've had some tech issues here in and out. And wait, there's something playing. So see what I'm trying to tell you? I just said we're having some tech issues. That was almost prophetic, right? Okay. And because of that, I'm not able to send out my texts. So keep texting and I'm getting yours, but they're not sending out for me. So I'll take care of that on the way home. I'll text people on the way out. Okay. but we're having a little bit of a glitch. We got that all covered? Look good? Okay, good. All right. So the last trivia question, how many siblings did Jesus have? How many brothers did Jesus have? Sorry. And then the answer is in Matthew 13, 55, and 56. How many brothers did he have? Okay. I will tell you this, his brothers plus himself, I think this is right, his brothers plus himself make a good, a good basketball team. All right, I think that's the right reference, right? A good basketball team. If you think you know the answer to the triv, you can still reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483 or send an email, David, at hemusincrease.org. Let's finish up on the Galatians portion as we wind this down. Let's see. Here we go. So let's pick it back up for verse. I think we're going to go verse, 16? Is that 16? 16. And yet we Jewish Christians know that we become right with God not by doing what the law commands, but by faith in Christ Jesus. So we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be accepted by God because of our faith in Christ. And not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be saved by obeying the law. Wow. Let me read that again. That's a very powerful little piece. Yet we Jewish Christians know that we become right with God not by doing what the law commands, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be accepted by God because of our faith in Christ. And not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be saved by obeying the law. Two things to point out to you real quickly. One of these is a possibility. I don't want you to, this is not a hill that you want to die on, but it's pretty cool. And that is in the first portion, he says Jesus Christ. In the second portion, he says Christ Jesus. So when people say, well, why does he say Jesus Christ there and then Christ Jesus somewhere else? Because when he says Jesus Christ, Jesus is there's the Savior part and then the Lord part. And then when he says Christ Jesus, it's the Lord and then the Savior. So depending on what the reference point is, that's why he flips it around. That's why everybody flips it around. So that sometimes you're referring to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Sometimes Lord is Savior. People are like, well, you can't be Lord without Savior. Yes, but you can't be the Savior without the Lord. It's both true. So I'm just telling you why you see that flipped around from time to time. That's a theory. That's not a bad one. I mean, that's a good one. I like it. I mean, it helps me, but I don't know if it's, you know, it's definitely not a hill to die on. But Paul takes extraordinary measures. We just talked about this. I mean, extraordinary measures. He's not mincing words. He's not like, well, it's kind of close or, you know, this works with this. It's like, nope, nope, nope. He says, look, we have been accepted by God because of faith in Christ, period. There's no, and people are like, well, see, everybody should be just accepted. Yeah, if you're accepted by God, okay, because of your faith in Christ, it means you have done what Christ said, which was his first message. What was the first message Jesus ever preached? It was the same message that Peter preached. It was the same message that John the Baptist preached, and it was the same message that Paul first preached, and that is repent. You were like, well, he's just the way I am. I don't have to change anything. Really? To the woman caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more. It wasn't an option. She didn't go, well, don't you love me the way I am? Go and sin no more. Don't do that anymore. You're done. That's what he said. See, people don't like that part, right? It's like, too bad. That's what he said. And so here we have this great understanding. It's like, look, you get accepted by God. He receives you, but it's through Jesus Christ, the redeeming work. And what did Jesus die for? Your sins, not so you can keep on sinning, but so that you can be in fellowship with God. And then he goes to that next level. This is the thing that when you read the writings, you can kind of get into it. He goes, so we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be accepted by God because of our faith in Christ Jesus, or in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law, okay? So he's kind of stepping up that game right there. And then he hammers it home, for no one, so definitive, will ever be saved by obeying the law. Just like kind of kicks that theory out. It's like kicking it through the goalposts of life. Not going to happen. And the whole premise here is that salvation is a gift from God, given by grace, received by faith. If you're a person who has never acknowledged or accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and you're listening to this show, it's not overly complex. I'm going to just be honest with you. Everybody has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But there is a free gift of God in eternal life through Christ Jesus. And if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've not been saved, if you're not sure if you've been saved, you call upon the name of the Lord, confessing Jesus Christ as risen from the dead and that he is your Lord. And you come before the Lord, you humble yourself, and you allow God to, he's trying to give you a brand new start. And for those who are Christians, have been Christians for years and years and years, you know, it's literally the same process for you to have a reset. A reset button. You know what a reset button is. You got something going wrong with your computer, your television, something like that. You hit the reset button. It starts everything off. Sometimes we need a reset. You know how to reset the button with the Lord? Repent. Just say, you know what? I'm sorry. Let me start fresh. Because the great thing about God is that his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness is new every morning. So you and I can reset and get it right. Or get it better, or better said, draw closer, because that's what he's waiting for. Okay, all right. How many brothers did Jesus have? He had four brothers and at least two sisters, because the scripture says, and his sisters, plural, are with us here. So we don't know if there was more than that or not. So we know there was four and then the two sisters. But the four brothers and Jesus would make five. And like I said, that'd be a good basketball team because you need five members to have a basketball team.
Pretty big family.
Yeah, it's not exactly tiny. And how would you like to have to live up to your big brother's processes? No, thank you. Okay, there you go. All right, folks, we're done. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Going to take a 22.5-hour break, then come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.